Now, the subject that I'd like us to consider together this evening is one of the musts that we actually heard about this morning, and that is the must of you must be born again. And as we look at this particular subject, before we turn to the book of John in chapter 3, if we could just read one verse in the Old Testament, in 2 Chronicles, please. So similar to this morning, we'll be looking at a verse in the Old Testament and also a passage from the New. The book of 2 Chronicles and chapter 25. 2 Chronicles chapter 25 and just one verse, verse number 2. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a loyal heart, or but not with a sincere heart. And this is referring to, in verse number 1, King Amaziah. I'll read that again. It says, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a loyal heart. Now if we could go over to the New Testament in the book of John, and we'll read the account of Nicodemus there in John chapter 3. Reading from verse number 1 in the book of John in chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly, or verily, verily, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And then in verse number 7, we see the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he actually says that must. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. And then in part of the response of the Lord Jesus Christ to Nicodemus, if we could go down to verse number 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And we know that the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word together. Now, one of the reasons why I read that first verse in 2 Chronicles there, where it told us that and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a loyal heart. And the reason I read that was because we see a lot of people in this particular situation, and we'll see as we consider the story of Nicodemus, indeed how he was different to that. You know, you get many people that you talk to, and no doubt you have come across them, and they would say that yes, that they do believe in a supreme being, they do believe in a God, and indeed that they would say that they would consider that at the end of their life, that God, being a God of love, would consider their life and what they have done, and if it has generally been pretty good, well then they should gain an entrance into heaven. And you know, that might sound fair enough, and indeed there are a couple of very correct statements in that. First one being that yes, God loves to see us doing the right thing. God loves to see us doing good, each and every one of us. God loves to see that. And also, yes, God is a God of love. But as we consider the subject tonight, we'll see why that is not enough to get us into heaven. And we see here that this person, Amaziah, did what was right, and how great that was, but it wasn't with a loyal heart. He wasn't sincere in what he had done. And how many insincere people we come across in the world today. And so we read the account of Nicodemus as he came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, it's wonderful to see Nicodemus. Here it tells us that he was a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews. And one of the things that we read about in God's word that was quite evident with these Pharisees, these Jewish rulers of the day, that indeed they were like that King Amaziah that we read about in the Old Testament, that quite often they would go about and doing what was right, or doing what seemed to be right from the outside, but yet inside their hearts, they were not loyal. And you know, that's something that each and every one of us needs to consider, that God looks into our hearts. God does not just look upon our outward actions, because indeed, so often, in each and every one of our cases, quite often we might do something to gain something from it for ourselves, but yet deep down in our hearts, we are not sincere. And you know, that's what God looks for. God looks right down into our hearts, and He knows whether we are a true follower of Him or not. And so we see that the Pharisees, that they stood forth and they would attain to the fact that indeed they lived righteous lives and they did what was right. We see that they were the religious leaders of the day, but yet inside their heart that indeed they had that great problem that we read about throughout God's Word, and that is the problem of sin. In the Old Testament, we have brought before us the Ten Commandments. And there we see God's law written down, God's holy law, all the things that we should not do. And indeed, these Pharisees would stand forth and would say that they would comply with God's law. You know, one of the things that they failed to realise was the true intention that God had when He wrote those laws. They weren't just a set of laws as in outward actions that we ought not to do. Indeed, they are that. But it goes further than that. When the Lord Jesus Christ was here, and we read it in God's Word, that the Lord Jesus Christ says it goes one step further than that. It's not only just actions that we may do, but it's even thoughts that we may think. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ says that if we hate our brother without a cause, that's the same as breaking the commandment of you shall not kill. And He also goes one step further and says that if a man lusts after a woman in his heart, that he has broken the commandment of you shall not commit adultery. And you know, that's how serious God looks upon sin. And you know, so easy it is for each and every one of us to just brush it aside or maybe not consider it too carefully. But when we consider God and who He is, how holy and how righteous God is, God considers sin something very, very serious. So we see sin is not only just an outward action, but it's also a thought. And you know, we read in the book of James, and James goes one step further, and he says that if we see some good that we should do, and we don't do it, that that's considered sin in the sight of God. Brought down simply, that might be something as simple as seeing someone that might need a hand. It may be someone struggling with something in the local shopping centre. You might be in a bit of a hurry, and you don't stop to help that person, but you continue on your way. Well, we read from the book of James that that's considered as sin. So it's not only outward actions, it's not only thoughts, but it may even just be sitting still doing nothing and not helping someone that we ought to do, not doing some good that we ought to do. In the Bible, we see that is sin. And so we see that God considers sin very, very seriously. And you know, something that God cannot have in His presence is sin. And you know, that's why that God has devised this wonderful plan that we read about in the Bible, the wonderful plan of salvation. How the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world. And we see how the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross for each and every one of us. You know, we considered this morning that God doesn't desire the death of any. God doesn't desire that any should perish, but that each and every one of us should come to repentance. So yes, God is a God of love. And God desires that each and every one of us would accept the love that He presents to us. And so we see that God, being holy and righteous, cannot have sin in His presence. And that's why, even though we may do good, and that may be, even though we might consider ourselves good enough to get into heaven, that is why we cannot go there, because of our sin. And another reason for it is because we read in the Bible about the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. And there we see the Lord Jesus Christ not only going through immense physical suffering, but we read about in the Bible that there was 3 hours of darkness. And it was during that time that God punished His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the sin of the world. That's where God punished the Lord Jesus Christ for your sin and mine. And so if God has punished His Son for your sin, if you do not accept the Lord Jesus Christ, that would mean, and you can still get an entrance into heaven, that would mean that that death of the Lord Jesus Christ was for no reason whatsoever. But indeed, that is not the case. And we see the wonderful love that the Lord Jesus Christ has demonstrated to each and every one of us. So we see sin, the great problem. The great problem that each and every one of us has. You know, we read about it right from the first book of the Bible. And we see that's the reason that Adam and Eve were cast out of the Garden of Eden. We see there how serious God considered sin. One sin was enough to cast Adam and Eve out of that beautiful garden that was prepared for them. And indeed that one sin broke that wonderful relationship that there existed between God and mankind. And you know, that's what God desires to have with each and every one of us, that that relationship be restored. God's desire is that he would have a relationship with each and every one of us. And that's why God has gone to such great lengths to send his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world to die upon the cross. You know, we read in Romans chapter 3 and verse 22 and 23, it says, "For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You know, God considers each and every one of us on exactly the same level. I'm not better than you, not better than anyone else. God sees each and every one on exactly the same level. The difference is, for those of us who are Christians, we have taken that step of confessing our sin, of turning away from it and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who died for us. But each and every one of us is on the same level playing field. We all have sinned. Romans chapter 6 and 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You know, that's what the gospel is all about. The gospel is good news. The good news, how it's not all doom and gloom, how the wages of sin is death. And that's not only just physical death, but that's spiritual death. In other words, no relationship with God for all eternity. And you know, one of the things that we read about in the Bible is the judgment that is to come, and how solemn it is to consider that if we indeed reject the Lord Jesus Christ, that God tells us that we will spend an eternity out of his presence and in hell and the lake of fire, and how solemn that is for us to consider. But it says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's the good news, how that eternal life, how life forevermore in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven is able to be attained for each and every one of us. And so that's the reason why, that we can't just go through our life and having this thought in the back of our mind that, well, if I continue to do good and continue to live a life that I think is all right, and comparing myself to other people, that indeed I am better than all these other people, that is why that is not the way that we can get into heaven. That is why that we need to compare ourselves to God and to see the standard that God has set and that God has set in his word. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross for each and every one of us. You know, if we maybe like one of those people and we say, yes, we believe that there is a God and that God is a God of love, and that we set up these standards that we think we need to attain to get there, well, how crazy is that for us to devise our own plan on how to get to the place where God is? The place where we need to look at is God's word. We need to look into the Bible. If we truly believe that there is a God, we need to look into his word and see what he says as to how we can get to heaven. And that's what we have read about, and the story of Nicodemus, the story of being born again. And so here we see Nicodemus. He's a little bit different than all these other Pharisees, and he looks upon the Lord Jesus Christ and he sees in him something different. And it tells us there that he knows that he was a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs and miracles that he did unless God is with him. Here we see someone who was able to look at the Lord Jesus Christ and indeed realise that he was from God. And you know, I trust that as people look upon those of us who are Christians, will indeed see these attributes of the Lord Jesus Christ. And indeed, we touched on that when we spoke this morning, how that we ought to demonstrate the qualities of the Lord Jesus Christ. And indeed, going on further from what we spoke about this morning, that we would see here that if we demonstrated those qualities, that people would come along and see that there's something different, that the Lord Jesus Christ is in our lives, and would ask us further about the faith that we have. And so here we see Nicodemus comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, realises that there's something different about him. And you know, we see the response of the Lord Jesus Christ to Nicodemus. It wasn't that, look, Nicodemus, if you do good, you'll get into heaven. But he says something that absolutely baffled Nicodemus. He says, unless you're born again, you will never enter into heaven. Unless you are born again. And so that's the message that we would present tonight. That if you want to get to heaven, if you want to enter into the kingdom of God, what we must do is be born again. You know, that's something that I used to think was pretty confusing, being born again. Like Nicodemus here, he says, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb? You see, Nicodemus was thinking purely from a physical point of view, and he just didn't understand what the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about. But what the Lord Jesus Christ says, what Nicodemus needed to do, and what each and every one of us needs to do, is to be born again. It's not a phrase that we read often about in the Bible, but it's something that is indeed very simple when we have a close look at it. And you know, to be born again, what do we see at birth? We see a new life. We see something at the absolute beginning. And you know, that's what needs to take place in our lives. We need to have an absolute new beginning. We need to have new birth, so to speak. And that's what we refer to it as in Christianity, being new birth or being born again. And what we also see the meaning of being born again also is being born into the family of God. And you know, it is at that point in time where we become a child of God, at that time of birth into God's family. And that's what the phrase means of being born again, of starting absolutely right from the start and being born into the family of God. And you know, that's why we read of the Lord's Prayer, and I'm sure, well, I don't think they do it these days, but when I grew up through school, we had to say the Lord's Prayer before we started school every day. And it starts off, "Our Father, which art in heaven." And you know, that's the wonderful relationship that we can have with God, is that we can call him our Father. Because of this wonderful fact that we're born again, we are born into the family of God, and we can refer to God as our Father. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ was bringing before Nicodemus here. That look, it's no good just trying to follow the Ten Commandments and doing what is right, because ultimately we will fail. Ultimately, each and every one of us will fail. Not one of us can meet that standard of God, and that standard is absolute perfection. There's only one person that ever met that standard, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he lived a life here on earth that was absolutely perfect. You know, we read the account of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was upon the cross. And, you know, one of the thieves criticised the Lord Jesus Christ, and the other one said that, look, this man hasn't done one thing out of place. And you know, that's what he could say about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't do one thing out of place, and there's not one of us here that can say that. And you know, that's why the Lord Jesus Christ was able to suffer the punishment of your sin and mine, because he lived through his life here on earth not committing one sin whatsoever, not thinking a bad thought whatsoever. And you know, that's the wonderful thing that we have to present of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, when we come and put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, when God looks down upon us, he doesn't see the filth of the sin in our hearts, but he sees the precious blood of his Son. He sees the precious blood of his Son, which has cleansed our sins. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary for each and every one of us. He shed his precious blood so that we might have a way to come back to God, to restore that relationship which we spoke about, that we can restore that relationship with him. And we see, as the Lord Jesus Christ talks to Nicodemus down in verse number 14, we see him bring before him a story that no doubt Nicodemus would have been very, very familiar with. Nicodemus would have known the Old Testament back to front, being a Pharisee. And here we see him reminding of the story of how God sent these serpents among the children of Israel. And you know, we read there in the Old Testament how many of the people died. And we see in that story how the people cried out to Moses, and they cried out for help. They realised that their condition was hopeless. They realised that they'd been bitten by these serpents, and they couldn't do one thing for themselves. You know, that's one thing that we must realise, that we can't do one thing for ourselves to get ourselves into heaven. It's not something that we can do. It's something that the Lord Jesus Christ has already done, and that all we need to do is to put our faith and trust in him. And so the children of Israel, they called out to Moses, and Moses spoke to God on their behalf. And we see the instruction from God. God gave Moses instructions on how the children of Israel were able to ease themselves from this terrible affliction of being bitten by all these serpents. And the instructions were to make a serpent of brass and put it up upon a pole. And the instructions were that if you were bitten, if you looked upon that pole, you would live. And you know, it was only those people that followed God's instructions exactly that were saved. It was only those people that followed the instructions that God sent down through Moses that indeed lived. And you know, that's why each and every one of us must follow the instructions that God has given to us, that we must be born again. And it is only if we follow those instructions exactly that we will indeed have our sins forgiven and indeed receive a wonderful inheritance, that inheritance being a wonderful relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven for all eternity. And so we see the Lord Jesus Christ explaining this to Nicodemus, and he says that even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And you know, there we see the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross, who we have spoken about already. And you know, it is only when we look, just like the children of Israel, when they looked upon that serpent of brass, believing what they were doing was following God's instructions, that they would live. And it is so when we look upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that we see there upon the cross, we see someone who died not for something that they had done, but when the Lord Jesus Christ was there upon the cross, he died for me. The Lord Jesus Christ shed his precious blood for my sin. And it is so then, by putting my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that it is indeed then that I am born again, as we have read about, or I am saved, as we read about other places in Scripture, or we have become a Christian, we have had that new life within our hearts. And you know, one of the things, as I said earlier, that we must do, and that is absolutely essential for salvation, and that is repentance. Because of that sin that I spoke about, it's not just simply enough, as we read about this morning, to confess our sin and then not truly repent of it. What we need to do is to repent. We need to turn away from it, not want to have anything more to do with it. Even though sin may come upon our path in the future, that we must have that repentance in our heart, turning away from that sin and turning and put our faith and trust in Christ. Verse 15 said that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. You know, there's no need for any of us to perish, but each and every one of us can have everlasting life. It tells us God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world. The reason God sent the Lord Jesus Christ into the world was so that each and every one of us might have this opportunity, and that each and every one of us might be saved. We said earlier that God doesn't desire that any should perish, but that each and every one of us should come to repentance. Verse 18, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And so we see that the only way that we have to come to a relationship with God and a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is to trust in what he has done for each and every one of us. You know, before I was saved, I used to get hung up upon any particular words that I might have to say to get this relationship with God. I used to think that there was some special prayer that I needed to say. You know, there's a verse in the book of Romans, I believe, and it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, there's no special words that we need to say, but it needs to be something that takes place in our hearts. Because as I said earlier, it's God that looks down and he looks into our hearts and he knows exactly what's going on. And so it's not some special words that we need to say, but in our hearts we need to repent of our sin. We need to confess it and see the Lord Jesus Christ there upon the cross and believe in him. Believe that when he shed his precious blood, it was for me personally. And that's how we can be born again. That's how we can come into this wonderful relationship. And so I trust that as we have considered this subject this evening, that indeed we will not be like that King Amaziah that we read about in 2 Chronicles, that did what was right, but not with a loyal heart. I trust that each and every one of us will have a loyal heart, and each and every one of us will desire to see the Lord Jesus Christ, and indeed repent of our sin, and do what the verse said, that we must be born again. We must come to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the only one that can save us.